Thank you, Kim. This morning, I want to talk about a cost. And, you know, it just so happens it's on the heels of Christmas, so I'm not necessarily talking about the price that you paid during the holidays for Christmas presents, okay? We're going to talk about the cost of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And to me, in my life, that's a big subject for me. Coming from where I came from, not knowing the Lord early in my life, and accepting Jesus Christ late in my life. When I say late, I was in my mid to late 20s, but that is kind of late. There were a lot of changes that I had that took place in my life. A lot of things, a lot of areas in my life that I had to change. And it took me a while to get to that place. Although I know I was saved, there were a lot of things in my life that the Lord helped me get rid of. And it was a process for me. But the cost, you know, each and every one of us have paid the price for the things that we have in our lives. And again, not necessarily a monetary price. You know, think about it. If you were in school at some time, you guys went to college while you were in school, you were on scholarship. You had to work very hard for that scholarship. You had to make the grades to gain that scholarship. You know, if you're in a good situation with your job, if you were or you are now, where you're making good money and you have flexible hours, maybe an office with a view, you know, you probably somewhere down the line had to prove your worth to someone. And if at this time, you're in a solid relationship with the opposite sex, whether it be a marriage or a courting relationship, 19 kids and counting, somewhere you most likely had to endure some pretty bad ones to finally find that special person that you're now compatible with and that you're living a happy life with. So you get the point? When we have good things in our life, those things come with a price. We've had to pay the price somewhere down the line in our lives for the things that we have now. You know, all of these things that seem to be on track and doing well for you in your life, again, came at a price. You had to make sacrifices. You had to work hard at it. You know, maybe for some of you, you had to put your selfish desires on a shelf, so to speak, and give a little more than maybe you wanted to give at that time, okay? But now you see how incredibly worthwhile it was to put your needs, your wants on a shelf and kind of go where Jesus Christ was leading you in your life to accomplish something that he was calling you to accomplish. But again, now listen, what about the price that you've paid to follow Jesus? What about that price? What about the price you have had to pay to follow Jesus? What does it cost you in your personal or professional lives to follow the one and the only one who is truly worth following? You know, maybe it cost you some nights out on the town with friends or family. Maybe it cost you some laughs around the water cooler when some crude jokes were being told and you didn't, you know, repulsive joke was told and you took offense to it. Or maybe some friends on social networking sites. Is everybody on Facebook in here? No. That's the second service. You know, maybe some friends on social networking sites because you make a stand for what is right and good and you turn away from something that is filthy and wrong. You know, there are times that we all are going to face those tough decisions, whether or not to fall into the traps of the world or make a stand and let our authentic relationship with Jesus Christ shine through. All of us. Every single one of us, if you're sitting in here today and you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and only you know that, of course the Lord knows as well, you somewhere down the line are going to have to pay the price to truly follow Jesus. This morning, we're going to take a look at a passage of Scripture. If you haven't already, turn in your Bibles to Luke 14. I believe this passage of Scripture clearly states what it costs to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Three quick points this morning, okay? And I believe we're going to see three things in this passage as we look at it and what it costs to follow Jesus Christ. verse 25 and verse 14, Luke 14, verse 25. Now great crowds were traveling with him, so he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Let's pray. Lord, we love you. I lift your word up to you. I pray, God, that you will just let it shine down on our lives, God. Let us see and understand this scripture that sometimes seems difficult, God, but it is really easy, Lord, for us to follow you. Lord, that is what we're here for today. And God, I pray that you will speak through your word, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Again, three quick points this morning. And I believe it's three things that we see in this passage that Jesus tells us what we should do, what the cost we have to pay to follow him. And the first point this morning, we see in verse 25, the masses. We see the crowd following after him. Now, great crowds were traveling with him, so he turned and said to them. You know, we see the large crowd join Jesus as he was traveling through Jerusalem. Many times, Jesus, when he spoke, he suited himself to those around when he was speaking. For instance, when he spoke to the Pharisees, he preached humility and he preached charity. And in these verses, he directs his sermon to the multitudes that crowded after him. Okay, perhaps these casual followers considered themselves his true disciples. I'm not sure. I don't know for a fact. But they did seem very zealous in following after him. They were there. They wanted to go with him. They were anxious to hear what Jesus had to say. You know, I'm not sure, again, if they were truly disciples, but they did have an excitement about following. My thought this morning is that, listen, the crowds that followed after Jesus Christ that day as he spoke were much like those who follow after Christ today. The crowds were much like those people who fill our churches today. I believe that. You know, think about this. Think about yourselves as we walk through this passage, and especially this verse, and we identify these people. Okay? Think about if you fit into this category, and I could go on forever with this, but I'll just touch on a few. Some of these people were probably hot, and some of them were cold as far as Christians. You know, some were sure about whom Jesus Christ really was, and some didn't have a clue. They weren't very sure about who he was. Maybe they seen him perform miracles. Maybe they seen him and heard him say the things that he was saying and doing, but they were still unsure and still had, you know, they were kind of like, whoa, wait a second. You know, some in that crowd that day were filled with childlike faith where others were just along for the ride. You know, and on that day, I believe that the crowd was filled with people who truly loved Jesus Christ and were anxious and excited to hear about what he had to say to them and how he was going to speak into their lives. But it was also filled with people who claimed to love him, but had no intention at all of applying what he had to say to them that day to their lives. Some were in that crowd and just wanted company, and others were there for the love that they knew Christ could share through his words. One thing is for sure, though. Jesus was about to teach that following him was more than just knowing facts about him. In verse 26, we're going to look at how he explains what it really meant, what it really means to be his disciple. And I believe that he defines the cost of discipleship. The second point is the mandate. I believe he delivers a mandate in verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. I'll stop right there, I'm sorry. Verse 26. Well, we see Jesus clearly tell the crowds that absolutely nothing is to take precedence over him, over loyalty to Jesus. Matthew Henry puts it this way. Listen to this, about this particular verse, verse 26 of Luke 14. Jesus was telling the crowds that day that they must be willing to quit that which was very dear to them and come to him thoroughly weaned from all their creature comforts. Listen, Jesus was saying to part from anything and everything that may cause them, all of us, not to live sacrificial servanthood lives. Everything that may tempt us, everything that may tempt us to not follow hard after him. I believe that's what Jesus was meaning in this passage. So think about that. What's that mean in your lives? Listen, I know the holidays are awesome. It's great to spend time with family and friends. Look, I think I had 4 Christmases, you know? It's fun. Family is awesome. Material possessions are awesome. But I believe what he's saying here, I'll use the term hate loosely. I don't believe Jesus hates anything. And I don't believe he wants us to hate anything. But think about this. What does that mean in your life? What kind of things do you put in front of him? What kind of things do you put in front of him materially, materialistically, and with family? You know, I look back as I was preparing for this sermon, and I thought about some of the things that I've done over the years where I've put things in front of Christ. And you know what was at the top of my list, honestly, was family. I'm not saying you don't have to hate your family. I'm not saying that. You've got to want him and love him more than anything. I believe that's what he's saying in this passage. Think about this statement as it relates to material things. When someone loses everything materialistically, materially, when you see somebody, say on the news, for instance, and pardon me if anybody's had to go through this, because I can't imagine the pain it will cause. But think about this: when you see somebody on the news that has lost everything in a house fire, what do they usually say? What do they usually say? I still have my family. I still have my friends. You know, think about that. Jesus is making a point that even things close to us cannot take priority over him. You know, most everyone in this room loves relation. Your mother, your father, your sons, your daughters. And I know there may be some family issues out there and you're thinking, God, listen, you don't even know. But in general, most people love their family. Amen? But just to take the edge off again, right here a little bit, Jesus is essentially telling the crowd, all of us, each and every single one of us, not just the crowd. The scriptures were for people then and they're for people now. It's relevant. The Bible is relevant. He's telling all that we must love him more than anything else. Listen to this. Our comfort and satisfaction in anything other than Christ must be swallowed up in our love for him. Our comfort and satisfaction in anything other than Christ must be swallowed up in our love for him. You know, Jesus also tells all the crowd here and all of us that they must even hate their own lives. That we cannot be disciples of Jesus Christ if we do not put our selfish ways behind us. Our money, our possessions, and even our own well-being must come second to knowing, loving, and following hard after Jesus Christ. This seems almost impossible for some. You know, some of you are sitting here, how can I possibly do that? You know, there's been times in my life where I couldn't imagine not having certain things or going certain places or being with certain people. But then when Christ woke me up and really gave me a wake-up call in my mid-30s, I'd say, and really showed me what it meant to follow him, and that I was going to have to pay a cost, did I really understand that saying, hate even his own life? When we experience the pleasures of spiritual life and believing hope and the prospects of eternal life, this hard saying means absolutely nothing. It becomes easy for us when we truly think about eternal things. You know, in this, Jesus calls his followers to be absorbed in a single exclusive thought and passion, and that's him. You know, this point makes me think about the 63 IMB missionaries that came to our church in November. You know, what a great weekend we had. And again, I don't know if I've personally thanked you, our church, but thank you for stepping up to the plate. It was amazing. We couldn't have pulled that week off without you and your servanthood heart. But as I talked to some of these couples and some of these single missionaries that were going off, it was amazing to hear the stories that they were telling. It was really neat to see how God had taken them from one place, just a normal, regular, everyday Christian, which there's a lot of those in our church as well, that really don't give and they don't serve and probably don't spend time with the Lord, but they're still saved, or they say they are, and brought them to a place where they were sacrificially giving of everything, not just money. I'm not worried about the finances in the church. I'm not even in my own life. Just be a good steward. That's what I believe he calls us to do, is be good stewards, period. And then he will meet your needs, I promise you. Took them to be good stewards of everything that they have. Called them to be servants. Gave them a desire and equipped them to be good servants. And then one day they just woke up and realized that he called them to the mission field, to leave all of that behind. Family, possessions, everything. Everything. And when I say everything, I mean everything. I don't know how you can say the word everything and not mean everything. Everything. And you know what? As I was talking to somebody the other night, at basketball practice, you know, I've been helping the children out, and I just praise God I'm able to hang out with adults this morning. But I was talking to somebody at basketball practice the other night, and we were talking about, you know, she'd asked me, she found out I was preaching, and she asked me what I was preaching on, and I told her, and we got to talking about those missionaries. And you know what? Some of those people that were here, they're not going to make it back. Some of those people that were here may not make it back to the United States. They're going to pay the ultimate price. It could ultimately cost some of them their lives. That's pretty awesome. So we see Jesus with the mandate in verse 26. Now in verse 27, we see the missing. I'll be honest, I'm not a little preacher, but I'm not too sure if this exactly fits, but it was an M. Verse 27, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. I was just kind of joking. I was talking to Dr. Kerr about that. The cost of being a true disciple of Christ depends on the price that you are willing to pay. Look, those 63 missionaries, they were willing to pay the price. And some of them may ultimately pay the biggest price you could possibly pay. But the cost of being a true disciple of Christ depends on the price you're willing to pay. Jesus spells it out clearly here. You must bear your own cross. We must bear our own cross. So I ask you this. We're going to get into the practical side of things right now, and I promise I'm just a few minutes away from finishing. What is missing in your life? What is missing in your life and in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Let me throw some things out there for you. Is it time to stand up for what you know is right in your heart and quit trying to fit into the world? Is it time to, you know, with that point, listen to this. We've got to understand the world just uses and abuses people. Have you not realized that yet? The world just uses and abuses people, especially Christians. You know, and it's crazy because we know that. As Christians, we know how the world works, but yet we continue to indulge in it. And look, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. And I know some of you are too. But in 2015, think about that. Think about what's missing in our life with Jesus Christ, and follow hard after that instead of trying to indulge in the world and be filled with the things the world can give us, instead of paying the price, instead of it costing us something. Make your yes be yes and your no be no. Trust the Lord's commands. Obey His word. Love others and forgive those who have sins against you. Give without wanting something in return. Give without something, wanting something in return. Look, I'm going to be honest. That's something hard for me. I'm a giver. I sure like to take. Give without wanting something in return. Live by faith and stop leaning on your own understanding. Listen, I want to ask you this. What does your bankroll look like this morning? And I'm not talking about the actual change in your pocket, okay? Calm down. What does your bankroll look like this morning? I'm talking about the price you have had to pay to follow Christ, your spiritual bank account. Is your spiritual bank account empty because you're totally sold out to Jesus Christ? Are you living a humble, gracious, faith-filled, radical life for Jesus? Or are you sporting the bling? Of course, this was a, you know what the bling is, right? You know what bling is, everybody? It's shiny, it's new, it's material. Okay, I kind of use that word for the second service again, but I love y'all. Are you sporting the bling because you have never invested anything at all of your life into the kingdom? And when I talk about bling, I don't necessarily mean the material stuff. Bling could be things like, listen, pride, arrogance, self-righteousness. Maybe sometimes we have more of that of our in our lives instead of humbleness and being gracious and living a faith-filled life. Because some of us in life have had a great life. We've had an easy life, man. We had a great job. We've been in a great marriage. Our kids are scholars. Everything's been perfect other than our relationship with Christ. We come to church. We give a little. We serve a little. But we're not living that radical, sold-out life. Just imagine how much better things could have been if you would have been. Look, those kind of things are hard to admit, but Christ wants to rid our lives of those things. It is clear in this verse that there is a price to pay to be a disciple of Christ. So I want to ask you this, and I want to close with a video here in a moment. And we're going to have an invitation. But I want to ask you this. What does being a disciple of Christ cost you, if anything? In 2015, I want to challenge you that. You know, over the last couple of years, I've had the opportunity to either preach the last sermon in December or the first sermon in January because the pastor's been out going to that passion conference with our college kids. So it's like I always think about some things that God's doing in my life, and that's one of them. You know, in 2015... I want to pay the price. I do. I think Christ deserves it. You know, I want to live more of a radical life for Him. I don't know what that looks like yet. I do know one thing though. We're gonna have a baby in August. That's crazy, isn't it? Some of you may have already known that. If you didn't know, pray for us. Okay. That's pretty radical. You know, I'm 48. He's 65 when he graduates high school. What does being a disciple of Christ cost you, if anything? Now, I believe that in my heart, and in the scriptures, when we see biblical characters, and also as I see men and women today that have mentored me, and some of you that follow hard after Jesus Christ, I believe there's one thing that stands out. In people like you, and in people like that in the Bible, it's trust. I don't believe that you can live a sold-out life and be willing to pay the price and live a life where it costs you something to follow hard after Jesus Christ without trusting Him. I want you to take a look at this video, and I'll come up and close.
I just don't trust you.
You don't trust me?
No, I mean, I want to trust you. I just don't.
I have an exercise that I think will really help you.
Oh, okay.
Stand here and face this direction. Mm-hmm. Now, do you trust me?
No, I just said I don't trust you.
All right, well, this is all part of the exercise.
Oh,
all right.
Right. Okay.
Whenever I ask you if you trust me, you say, yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Even though I don't.
It's practice.
Okay.
So, do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus. I trust you.
Now, fall back.
Are you going to catch me?
Don't worry about that part.
Okay, that's the part I'm worried about.
You can do this, okay? Just trust me.
Trust you.
Fall back.
Okay, well, Jesus, I trust
Good.
You. Yes, I do trust you. I'm going to fall
okay.
back. Woo!
Oh, okay.
That's great.
Okay. Let's try this again. Just face this direction and keep your feet planted, all right? Do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Now, fall back.
Okay, I'm gonna do it.
All right.
I'm really gonna do it.
Okay. Good.
Oh, Jesus, you really caught me! I didn't think you were gonna catch me, but you did!
Oh, that was great!
That was great!
You're ready for level 2!
Level 2, here
yes.
I come, baby! Woo!
Whoa! Okay, hold it.
Oh, you know what? You're too close. You need to move back.
Ah, right.
Okay.
This one's a little bit different, Laura.
Oh, okay.
Stand here.
Uh-huh.
But face me.
Woo! Forward fall. Okay. I can do that.
Wait.
Whoa.
Okay. Wait for my signal.
Oh, right. The Jesus signal.
Yes, the Jesus signal. Do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus. I trust you so much.
Good. Fall back.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. Especially when you do it.
Seriously?
Of course.
Okay, Jesus, I don't know if you noticed this, but there is nobody over there.
I know it looks that way to you.
It looks that way. It is that way.
You can do this, Laura. Just trust me and fall back.
Jesus, I can't do that.
We can do it together.
I can't.
You can.
I won't.
So I wonder if that kind of tugs at your heart a little bit. Times in our lives where we can see him working and we know he's present in our lives and we do the trust fall and he's there to catch us. But I think what he's calling us to do as a church, as individuals, he's calling us to trust him when we can't see him. And I believe when you do that, you're paying a price. There's a cost and you're sold out. So this morning's invitation, like, you don't have to necessarily come forward. Brother Bill and I will be down front as Andrew plays. If you're here this morning, maybe you've been visiting with us and it's your church home. This is where you feel God leading you to join. Come forward and we'll receive you. And maybe this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ, we'll be here as well. And maybe there's something going on in your life where you haven't been as sold out and you know Jesus Christ, but you haven't paid the price and you just want some prayer about that. We'll also be here for that, okay? So as I pray, I'll stand and we'll just let the Lord do some work this morning. Lord, we love you. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your many blessings. And Lord, I thank you for this passage of Scripture where I believe it truly spells out what it means to be and what we have to pay, the cost of being a true disciple of Jesus Christ, God. That's putting everything behind us, every single thing there is in our lives behind us, material things, money, family, ourselves. Lord, I pray that you'll do a work in this room this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.